Welcome to Inside the Mortgage Mind, a Zenix podcast where you'll hear stories from professionals throughout the industry, from new LOs to CEOs, about their journey to achieving success. We hope these stories inspire and energize you to take your business to the next level. On today's episode of Inside the Mortgage Mind, we hear from our very own Jack Falcon Kierzewski one more time before his retirement. A respected mortgage leader with nearly 50 years of industry experience and a Zenix legend, Jack served as an executive, president, CEO, and chairman for 7 mortgage banking organizations before joining the Zenix team in 2007. As his illustrious career comes to a close, our CEO and founder, Casey Cunningham, sits down with Jack in the newly named Falcon's Nest here at Zenix HQ to talk about his time with us and to get a Falcon's eye view of the past, present, and future of our industry.
All right, Jack, you know how I feel about you. We've been together a while. I don't know, how long have we known each other now?
Oh, I don't know, probably 15, 16 years.
Yeah. Well, I think back prior to opening Zenix where I knew you, right?
Well,
knew
yeah, you. More than that.
So right. Probably 27 years, but when I think of the 12 years you've been with me, we've been through a fun time together for sure. Mm-hmm. And as you exit Zenix, you decide to retire and go into the next venture of your life. How many total years have you been in the industry now?
Well, let's see, I've worked a total of 53 years, probably about 47, 48 years in the mortgage industry.
In the mortgage industry. Mm-hmm. And you've seen some radical change and some things that have stayed the same.
You know, if you're in the mortgage industry, you're going to see a lot of changes. I mean, that's part of the mystique of this industry. It's
right.
Why people like to enter it. It's very entrepreneurial. I love it. I mean, it's a great industry.
And this industry, by the way, is better because of you in it. And as you depart, I want to make sure we give a chance for you to share what you learned from it and what you would like to message mm-hmm. out to what the future could look like if they had some just sage advice from you.
Sure, so be happy to.
Let's go back the hardest time you had in the industry, because there were some lessons there. When would you say that is?
Oh, gosh, the hardest time, and I think it's fresh in everybody's mind. And as we know, the mortgage industry is a cyclical industry.
Sure.
So, you know, there were cyclical trends before probably the Great Recession of 2007, 2008.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the most devastating situation I've ever seen in my career. And I think a lot of people can say the same thing.
Sure.
Did we see it coming? I think we saw it to some extent where, you know, in essence, there wasn't a lot of credit quality going on. Mm-hmm. A lot of people could get into housing without verification of income or mm-hmm. assets.
Sure.
If you had a good credit score, the subprime business was accepting people that you just shook your head and just say, how can they afford?
We all knew it, right? We all knew
it. We knew it. You didn't know where it was going
to
end.
But they were buying it, so it was easy to fulfill it. But when we think about that, we didn't see it. But when it happened, we got to watch and witness some amazing, amazing companies not make it.
Right.
When you think about fast forward now, we're 10 years from those days, almost, what, 11, going about to be 12 years from 2008.
Right.
What is the lesson that you think that the lenders did get as a result of 2008 to today?
Well, I think the lesson that really they learned is credit quality,
mm-hmm.
underwriting standards.
Sure.
I think that first and foremost, the product that has been underwritten since that time
mm-hmm.
has been performing much better. Delinquency rates and foreclosure rates are at an all-time low.
Sure.
But the minute you start to see some uptick in that, whether they're starting to, and you may see that in the future as you look at what's happening today, it's a great market. People are happy. Lenders have made a lot of money. What they're looking now is probably 6 months, 7 months from now, when refinances disappear and you get into a very tough purchase market and you get pricing wars, and then you want to put people in the homes that shouldn't be in homes. Does the subprime industry come back as we saw it, as people are chasing yield?
Sure.
So there's a lot of things, you know, red flags that you have to watch for. And if you're the president of a mortgage company, you want to be really careful where you enter that fray. So there's caution to the wind, but most CEOs are looking 6 months, 9 months down the road. what's happening now is great, but they're planning and watching the, you know, the future. And
since you're, you know, you are so seasoned, you've been the present CEO of 5 mortgage companies and executive positions in countless mortgage companies. What's the one thing that if you were running a mortgage company today, knowing, looking out 6 months, 9 months, that you would be doing to get ready for what's about to happen?
Well, first of all, I think it's important as a CEO to have people, surround yourself with great people. Mm-hmm. And whether it's, you know, your chief financial officer, your head of production, head of secondary marketing, that's your management team. And there's others certainly that are included in that. But you really want to, you really want to get your team together and come to the consensus of where we're going. You know, what's, you know, does, do the goals and objectives we have for the coming year, do they make sense in light of what's happening in the market? Are they achievable? And as we know, Casey, every year we talk to mortgage bankers at Zinnix.
Sure.
They want to increase their staff. They want to grow. They want to grow. They want to grow. And so often they fail to make those growth targets.
Yeah.
And because either they have, they've overestimated the market,
sure,
or they, the market is such where they won't be able to do the recruiting that they need to recruit to get to their goals. And so there's a lot of, there's a lot of risk in this industry, but if you're, if you've been through this industry and there are a lot of very experienced, very heady people in this industry, just, you know, you, you play more on the conservative side than you do on the aggressive side.
Sure. You know, it's interesting to me because we've watched the cycles, we watched the challenges. There's a huge margin challenge that's about, that was happening at the beginning of this year. We got some relief because of this refinance boom. 6 to 9 months, we're going to be possibly, when that refi dries up, if you will, we're going to have that margin compression again. What's the biggest opportunity to improve margins in your mind?
Well, you know, the margin is certainly a, it certainly has to do with secondary marketing execution.
Sure.
What are your most profitable products? And we know the most profitable products are FHA and VA products.
Right.
Jumbos and conventional lending is, conventional lending is profitable. Jumbo product is not as, is not as profitable. So you really want to look at product lines where the, where there's, where there is a lot of room for profitability. If you're not in those product lines, you need to get there as soon as possible.
Start now to be prepared
right.
for the opportunity
right.
in the future. So today, you know Zinnix better than anybody, having been with me for 12 years, and you've seen the cycles. And with no bias now, since you're retired, you're not here, and you're not selling specifically the Zinnix programs and services, where's an opportunity that you think executives may really want to lean into Zinnix?
Well, you know, we always talked about there's four ways to grow the production side.
Right.
You know, you can do it by mergers and acquisitions.
Okay.
You can do it by recruiting. You can do it by making your people more productive,
mm-hmm.
or you can do it by bringing in new people to the industry. I think Zinnix has three out of the four of those. We're not, Zinnix is not in mergers and acquisitions.
Right.
But I think that today, and I think people will tell you they're experiencing difficulty in hiring experienced loan officers mm-hmm. with good pipelines. So where do they go? I think they either have to buy somebody or they're going to have to recruit
sure.
people, or they make their people more productive.
Gotcha.
The thing about the numbers are, we know Strathmore Group has said that over 40% of their loan officers produce more than 80% of the business.
Right.
So what are you doing with the other 60? What, you know, what is your plan for that group?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think Zinnix comes in, especially with the rookies too.
You've always shared with me, I truly believe if I was running it today, it'd be move the middle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's
right.
those people are leaning in and looking for growth. So, so tell me, let's go back a little bit, because I know one thing about you, you're the unspoken leader, if you will, wherever I've ever gone, and I've met people who've met you. And leadership is not always by title, but by who mm-hmm. you are. And we would describe you as one of the most amazing leaders we've come across.
Oh, thank you.
And tell me what those, what made, got you there, and have you always been a great leader? And what can advice can you give to those that are in that leadership role to have that, the feeling that we have about you and that this industry has about you?
Well, I had a couple of great mentors as I came through the mortgage industry, and I was at an organization called Gold Dome. Mm-hmm. And Gold Dome, back in the late 70s, early 80s, was one of the top three or four mortgage banking companies in the country. The thrift Gold Dome was the top two or three thrifts in the country. And our leader was Kevin O'Neill. And right below Kevin was Don Britton. And those were probably two of the best leaders that I learned from in my career. And you watch Kevin and the people that he hired and the people that he gave the ability to, he hired good people, but he also gave them the ability to take their goals and objectives and really hire the best people under them and to really go after those goals and objectives. He gave them rope, he gave them the ability to succeed. You make a mistake, it's not the end of the world, but you learn from that and you go on. And I think that's, you know, he supported the people to the nth degree, and he never really knocked them down. He just, you know, he was there to help support them, sit down with them. And he really kept the bank at, you know, he was managing the bank relationship. So that's a big relationship when you have a huge thrift. And so he spent a lot of time there working on that relationship, having the bank understand what the mortgage business was about while he let the executives run the day-to-day business.
So I heard that he was empowering.
Right.
I heard that supportive. Mm-hmm. It sounds like he never did what I call public hanging, right? You make a mistake.
None of that.
You actually, no. He supported the fact that you learned from the mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And today in this industry, we see the words producing manager as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
It's a challenging role. What are your thoughts about producing managers in general in our industry?
Well, we know they're great producers.
Right.
And they may not have the DNA to be a top leader and a top producer. That's a pretty tough DNA to have to do both. There are some that do it, that do it well. But I'd say those people are in the minority. And I think what our industry needs is leaders that hold people accountable. And accountability and coaching is where it's at. If you don't have time to coach, if you don't have time to hold people accountable, you won't have a larger mortgage office and you won't have as successful a mortgage office as you would like. So those are the things that in my opinion, are key and need to be done in order to reach your goals and objectives.
So it's really interesting because we met with the advisory board recently about looking at truly the life cycle of a loan officer and a leader, and how, you know, of course the top LO becomes the branch manager, but they're ill-equipped, and sometimes just they may be equipped, but they don't have the time because mm-hmm. production is where they get the majority of their income. Could you early on decide you have a decent producer, not a top one, that could go into the management track and still be able to make a pretty good living and not be unfortunately beholden to the top producer who doesn't have the bandwidth to help grow the company? So,
well, you know, that certainly is going on in the industry, but not as much as we'd like to see that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a good leadership training program is key. And as we've always said, everything rises and falls on leadership.
Absolutely.
You know, you could go into a branch office, meet the leader, meet the people, and then you would leave the branch office wondering, how can people work for this person? I mean, the person's totally engrossed in their own business,
right.
Talks about themselves, doesn't talk about how they're helping people grow. And everybody is on their own little island. So I just think that there's a lot of work to be done in the leadership end of this business.
So I want to share with people a little insight, because early on, before you came to work for Zenix, you had a strategy that I believe is something that you would want to share with everyone. And the strategy was to bring rookies into our industry
mm-hmm.
in a mass quantity, 100 rookies up and down the East Coast. By the way, you don't see many, you and I both know that, of executives who are willing to say, we're going to help grow, not just through mergers and acquisitions, our production from our current LOs, But we're willing, or recruiting, but we're willing to grow, be a rookies. Can you give me your just opinion about rookies in general and what you think executives should hear?
First of all, there's never a bad time to hire a good salesperson.
That's right.
And I think from the standpoint of your hiring practices, you really need to know the skill sets, the you know, did the person really have the DNA to be a top loan officer?
Okay.
At Zenix, we have the ability to help people make that decision.
Sure.
I also think that you need a market that's a good market to bring them into the, okay, into the business. Tough markets, we never see a lot of rookies coming in, but the market we have today, how perfect it is to bring people into a very entrepreneurial business, teach them the business, and get them out there in the, you know, around the end of the first quarter or the first quarter per se, and to really feel the success and to gain those commission checks and really teach them the way that you want them to teach how your company operates. I think it's a great time to bring rookies.
You know, it's so interesting, Jack, because when we say rookies, right, you and I believe the industry at large thinks college kid. But you and I have seen rookies being the 35-year-old guy who's been on the road selling,
right,
who's stuck, who doesn't have another avenue to replace his income, but the mortgage industry clearly gives you that opportunity. So it's not, rookies are not necessarily meant young people, because our average age is 35 in our program. But why do you think the industry at large shies away from rookies?
Well, I don't think they'd be as successful in building relationships with realtors. I think they feel that number one is that's number one. Number two is whether they would bring in the business as quickly as an experienced person.
Gotcha.
Well, the experienced person that has been going around to a lot of different mortgage companies, they're great when it's refinance, when the refinance business,
right,
but then they fall off to one or two units and you've got the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think a rookie, if you train them well and you put them in how to prospect for business properly, we've proven this year that the rookies coming out of Zenix are averaging 5 units.
It's crazy.
Which is 30 days of training in the officer school program.
Right. So when I see companies today, I think strategically they'd love to, but they haven't had success in the past, so they shy away from it.
Right.
And we're great, and I keep going, we, because you're not here anymore, you're retired, but I love that you still say we, because we've worked together for so long. You know, one of the things you're so respected when I walk out in the market, as I shared, is leadership is the key. The qualities of leadership of empowerment, I heard you say. There's something else.
And coaching.
And coaching. And interesting enough, you have coached inside Zenix without the title, at where everybody comes to you as a mentor. What can leaders do today to get people to come into their office more often and ask for advice?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it starts in your meetings. When you have meetings with people and they get to know you and they get to understand what your philosophy is and how you want to operate the company, your vision, your culture. I think all of that. And, you know, when somebody is considering a move from a mortgage company to another mortgage company, not only is it important to have products and programs and fulfillment, but it's all about the people and the culture. And if you have a culture that's engaging, that will listen to people as they talk to you, then you may not enact everything they want, but they want to be heard. They want to be part of the success of the company. And I think if you have an open door and you talk to them and then give them good reasons why things can't happen the way they would like to see it happen.
Sure.
Because it could be internally that your organization isn't going in that direction, or you don't have a certain product because of X. I think it's just being as open as you can to people where they feel there isn't a hidden agenda, that you really are really interested in their success.
I love that about you, that you truly do have a heart for the person you're talking to. So let's go to the loan officer for a moment, because we don't often get to talk to them as often, right? Because we're talking to the C-suite and talking to managers. That loan officer that's out in the market, that's trying to make a paycheck every day for their family, what advice would you give them? Because you have sons now, they're in sales, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
What have you shared with them that you think loan officers in general should know about selling?
Well, if you know, selling is, you really have to have a routine in selling. I mean, you really have to do this routine day in and day out. The minute you take some time off and you don't follow that routine, whether it's making database calls, face-to-face appointments, you have to have your routine and you have to execute on it. Mm. We've seen that at ZenX in the Ignite program,
sure,
where it's daily accountability for 8 weeks. And if they start to perform and they exceed the baseline before they started in that program, you're seeing applications, you're seeing closings, mm-hmm. good things happening, and you're seeing it in the paycheck. And that's what people want to see. If I can do the activities that will give me the opportunity to expand my business to be the best I can be, I want to do those activities. But you also have to hold, somebody has to hold them accountable.
So.
And you're going to hit bumps in the road. So you need coaches to tell you, okay, here's the bump in the road. What would you do differently if you hit that bump in the road?
I'm smiling because I'm thinking about what you just said about the consistent disciplines every day. And when you wouldn't be here, you'd take off, you would go, you would send me a text, sales never sleeps.
Sales never sleeps.
You kept doing those disciplines every single day, regardless.
Never eat alone.
Never eat alone, I love that. Okay, so in order for you to be here today and to be the man that you are, there are people that have poured their lives into you. Can you sort of give a brief on who's been the most influential person in your life?
Well, of course, it's your family and it's your friends, and you know, that's huge for me. When you've run four or five different mortgage companies, you've been through mergers and acquisitions, you leave your family, you're sure. out traveling, you're meeting a lot of people. But I do think that, and I'll go back to, there were some great companies. Goldome was number one, and I mentioned that group. The other group was Dominion Bankshares Mortgage. We had people like Larry Hamilton, who went on to run a major mortgage company here in the Southeast. Fate Schwartz was a top mortgage leader in Washington, D.C., and really the entire mortgage banking environment. Alta Jones was my chief financial officer. She became the chief financial officer at Wells Fargo, Norwest Mortgage.
Wow.
These were really great people, and we as a team respected each other, we listened to each other, we didn't always agree, but there was consensus when we came out of the meeting that this is the way we were going to go. And if we had to change that consensus, we'd get back in and we'd talk about it. And do we want to make a move that would be different than what we thought?
So is there one person that you would say is your hero?
Oh, there's a number of them. I mean, I think...
Your dad?
Well, my dad certainly was a hardworking person. And, you know, we grew up certainly a blue-collar family in Buffalo. I remember they sold their house for $8,800.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't believe that. And he was a postal service employee. My mother ran an elevator to send me to this private high school. It's Canisius High School in Buffalo, New York. And all of a sudden, from there, the traits and the culture and the honesty, the integrity part of it was so huge. But I was an only child, which sometimes can spoil you. But
I know about
but
that.
There was a but there was kind of this love, tough love that you had to perform, and they held me accountable. And it happened like that in sports. I remember I was a junior in high school on the junior varsity playing basketball, and I didn't play much. How many juniors play a lot in junior
right.
varsity? So that summer I said, I'm gonna make the varsity. So I worked all summer, and all of a sudden I worked so hard that I became all city, all Catholic, got a scholarship, basketball scholarship.
Wow.
And I said to myself, same thing, wow, how did that all happen? And it was just hard work and sacrifice, and those are the traits that I think that people will become better for it if it's not handed to them, if they work for it and
sure.
they're so proud that they've made it.
Well, I can tell you I've seen all of these attributes in you, and how blessed we've have been at ZenX to have you for 12 years pouring into this industry and trying to share your expertise and your wisdom. And you've been on multiple boards and had influence with so many wonderful people. I want to give you a chance. First, I want to say thank you. All right, and I'm not going to try to cry. I'm not going to cry. I've already done enough of that. We've named a room after you. That's how
the Falcon's Nest. This is the Falcon's
Nest that we are sitting in is named after you for the influence you've had on my family and our organization and everyone here at Zenix. So I want to say thank you publicly and also like give you a chance to say a few parting words to the industry as to your thoughts. And I'm going to let you say anything you like, and we'll end it with that.
Well, it's a great industry. And as I said before, it's one of the more entrepreneurial industries that you can get into. You can make it what you want to make it. It's all up to you. Mm-hmm. There are people that are presidents of the mortgage companies that have come through the loan officer ranks, not necessarily the chief financial officer. But if you shoot for the sky, this is a great business to get into. If I had to do it again, I'd go the same route. So I think we'll have a great year in 2020. It's a purchase market, so get used to the purchase market because it has its cyclical trends.
Yes, it does.
And refinances will go away, but stay strong in purchases.
Thank you so much, Jack.
Thank you, Casey. It was great working with you.
You know how much we love you and blessed to have had you. And now we're going to be just friends, not work associates only. And your kids and your family are going to have a blast with more time with you. So there's no doubt.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to check back for new episodes of Inside the Mortgage Mind, a podcast by Zenix, the Mortgage Academy. You can download our episodes wherever you love to listen to podcasts or on our website at zenix.com/insidethemortgagemind.